Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
What's good? It's the mayor, man, live and direct in your system on a Tuesday evening, man, like we do. After further review is in your ear, man. GQ Power, this radio is in the building, man. You got the mayor in the house, you know what I mean? You got the mayor. You got my man Rich, the big CEO, handling the situation. You got Miss Lavina behind the boys. Can I get a soul clap or something? Let me know you back there. Let me know you in the building. All right, there it is. You know the math, man. You know how we do, man. You know the rules. 646-200-3838, man. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. Man, where we going to start at tonight? I'm going to touch on the little Ryan Braun situation from the Milwaukee Brewers. That just got suspended for 65 games, which is the remainder of the season for him because of the situation with the PEDs, which is like the illegal drugs that baseball players are using. And, you know, you could be mad on one end, but, you know, you just have to kind of like, this is the times that we live in right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's under pressure to produce, man, and perform. And, you know, you're going to say what you're going to have, you know, what you're going to say until, you know, your feet are put to the fire. And then, you know, you're going to have to, you know, give it up. But I just think that, you know, as far as giving back his MVP awards and things of that nature, I just think that, you know, that should just be, you know, just, it is what it is. You know, he's going to live with that asterisk for the rest of his life, you know, and he's coming back. So he's just going to have to sit out the rest of the season, come back in 2014, you know, because the Brewers still owe him $117 million. You figure that out. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a situation where you knew this day was coming. You know, and you know, him saying that he didn't have anything to do with it and keeping it out of his system and, you know, him denying it, you know, keep denying it, it just made it worse for him today. You know what I'm saying? So as far as, you know, people, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt or trying to, you know, make it a certain type of case, I think that's off the table right now. And next, everybody's waiting for the shoe to drop with Alex Rodriguez. And they say that Rodriguez, you know, they have more evidence on Alex Rodriguez than they have Ryan Braun. So I can't wait to really see what's going to happen with him. And I think that the Yankees, you know, a step ahead of the game. They're saying, you know, he was supposed to come back on Monday, which was yesterday. And all of a sudden, you know, he hurt his quad. So I think that was just a cover-up because they didn't want to bring him up and have that, you know, be dealing with that hoopla. So I'm expecting to hear in the next few days, you know, what they're going to do with Alex Rodriguez. And his story is just all together. Just I don't really even feel like discussing it because it makes me mad as a Yankee fan first and as a baseball fan, you know. You know, Ryan Braun is getting what he deserves. And, you know, basically, you know, he's going to lose about $4 million for the rest of the season. He's losing $20,000 a day. Every day that he misses for the rest of the season, he's losing $20,000. So you add all of that up. And it's just a sad case of affairs, man, where, you know, people have to, you know, do things to get over. But that's society, man. Everybody, you know, they're doing something. Everybody's on something, you know. Shout out to the Boston Red Sox, man. They just extended Dustin Pedroia for $100 million. For 7 years. I think he's like the face of the team right now. He's been around through the bad, the ugly, and the good. So, you know, he deserves that. Shout out to him. GQ Palace after further review is in the building, man. We're going to probably talk to my man Cortez Strickland. We're going to be on the check-in. He was at SEC Media Day last week, and he's going to probably check in and chop it up with him a little bit about the SEC. The SEC is bugging. Let me just say that. Let me say that right now. The SEC is bugging. They're saying a hit by Jadeveon Clowney in the bowl game against Michigan last year. If he would have did it this year, he would get thrown out the game. I don't see anything wrong with that hit. There was nothing wrong with that hit. I just think that, you know, they're trying to save face. Yeah, regardless, he knocked the guy's helmet off. That's true. But you can't deny that hit was a legal hit. And the fact that the NCAA is really focusing on that, I think they have bigger fish to fry. And the reaction that people are giving it, it's like, you know, pretty soon you're going to turn football into two-hand touch. And then that's when it's going to be gone. You know, that's when all the, you know, the love and the interest in football is going to be gone. But here's the thing about that hit that they are talking about, you know, suspending and ejecting people for now, they've shown it, you know, a million times. That you've seen this hit, everybody's showing this hit. It's a great hit. That's how you're supposed to hit somebody. When you're playing defense, that's how you're supposed to hit somebody. He got right up in their backfield and put the beats on him. Knocked his helmet off, and it was a great hit. Nothing was wrong with it at all. And now all of a sudden, if he does that hit in a game this year, he's going to get, you know, thrown out the game, which I think is totally just a bunch of garbage. But you can call in and check in with your opinion on that, man. 646-200-3838, man. We in the building, man. We're going to talk a little NFL tonight, too, man, because it's getting closer and all that. Camps popped off this week. Shout out to my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. We signed Peyton Hillis, who a couple years ago was one of the hottest names in the NFL. He was on the cover of Madden, and, you know, he suffered the Madden jinx. As soon as he got on the cover of Madden, his game went down in the tubes. So my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, linked him up for 1 year and to see if he can, you know, get his get his thing back together for my Buccaneers, yo. looking forward to having a big show tonight, man. You know what I mean? Got a couple things brewing later on down the line. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to go into NFL team by team. We're going to do the over and unders and stuff. But that's going to come a little bit later on down the line. So right now, we're going to talk a little baseball. Get into the NCAA a little bit, man. And just see what people's heads at. See what they're thinking about, man. Not really going to try to touch on no NBA, man. The Summer League was over. Shout out to I think it was Golden State that won the Summer League title out in Las Vegas, man. So that's basically that. Let everybody get their thing together. back to the NFL right quick. And people who say, you know, make their Super Bowl predictions right now at the end of July, I think that's just really just to have something to do. Because right now you don't know who's going to be on what team, you know, who's going to be hurt, who's going to be ready for week one, anything like that. That's why I like to put my picks off till later on, until it gets closer to the start of the regular season. You know, and I really don't want to put myself in no trick bag and say, well, I think so-and-so is going to win the division, and turn around 3 weeks later and say somebody else is going to win. So I just really, no disrespect to nobody, I just don't really, you know, put myself in those football conversations. I'm not really ready yet. I just say it like that. But, for example, Von Miller from the Denver Broncos, you know, he's going to miss the first four games of the season. You know, nobody saw that coming. So I think, you know, that changes a lot about how Denver's going to, you know, play their defense, and then they have to open the game of the season against Baltimore. So I just think that, you know, it's a situation where you don't want to say that Denver's going to win 11 games, then Von Miller's going to miss the first four games of the season. Now you want to change your pick to 9. So I just rather wait till I get closer to the regular season, then we can see who's really on the rosters and how teams are going to look. Because really, a lot of teams are really not even certain on certain positions, like the Eagles with their quarterback position. You know what I mean? Even with the Jets and their quarterback position. So a lot of teams are really, you know, shaky right now, trying to figure it out and see what they're going to do. So that's why we want to wait till it gets closer to regular season before we make any predictions or any picks on division or anything like that. So, yeah, back to baseball right quick. Your man Miguel Cabrera is out with a hip injury. That's the guy supposed to be going for the Triple Crown. He won the Triple Crown last year. He's trying to get it this year as well. He's leading the American League, I think, in average and RBIs, but Chris Davis has got the home run thing on lock. Having Miguel miss a couple of games out of the lineup might, mess with his chase for the Triple Crown, but I don't think it's going to really hurt the Tigers too much because I think they're a powerful team, and the next 2 weeks might tell a little something about where they're going to be as far as trying to shape the Cleveland Indians and put their foothold on that American League Central Division. The Yankees are trying to get Alfonso Soriano back. That's the guy that we traded back in 2003 when we got A-Rod. And we should have never traded Alfonso Soriano in the first place. He's not the same as he was back when he was hitting 40 home runs and driving 120 RBIs when the Yankees in the World Series. But I think he's a viable, you know, piece, and we could use him to fill in the outfield, and you know, maybe we could stick him, plug him in at second base when, you know, Robinson Cano needs a day off because he used to play second base as well. So yeah, I mean, you know, if we get Alfonso Soriano, you know, whatever. But I think we need pitching. I think we need pitching because our pitching, you know, I don't know what the deal is with CC Sabathia. You know, Philip Hughes is going to be Philip Hughes. The best pitcher that the Yankees have right now is Hiroki Kuroda. You know what I mean? And we have to step our game up as far as the pitching. We can't really wait for A-Rod to come back. You know what I mean? We can't really wait for Jeter to come back. You know, so we have to work with what we got. We know Teixeira's not coming back anytime soon. So we have to really work with what we got. And like I said earlier before the season started, I didn't see the Yankees doing too much this year. I'm pleasantly surprised by what they're doing. But by the end of the season, I think, you know, they'll probably be, you know, just out of the playoff race, you know, third place or whatever for them. But again, I picked Toronto to win the American League East, and they're in last place, so what do I know? But, you know, it's what it is, man. It's a long season. We're getting into the dog days now. So hopefully the Yankees can play respectable ball and become a spoiler if they don't, you know, make the playoffs or anything like that. The Red Sox look like they, you know, they just having a season, you know, where they just, you know, put everything under the table for last year with the, you know, chicken wings and beer and all that. They got rid of that memory, and they might win 100 games, you know. But the Yankees are, you know, they're 7 games behind Boston right now, and it's just looking like, you know, they gotta, you know, make some things happen in the trade market if they want to improve their position. You know, right now we lost 2 in a row. We're playing Texas Rangers tonight down in Arlington. And, you know, basically it's like a playoff race, you know, because we can't really worry about the division right now. We just have that, you know, the wild card, and we can try to, you know, keep our heads afloat as far as the wild card is concerned. And as far as the wild card is concerned with the Yankees, we're in 4th place, 4.5 games behind Tampa Bay for the wild card. So basically, what the wild card is, the first 2 teams in the wild card standings make the playoffs, and right now the Yankees are 4th. So I don't know. It still has still have the month of August to go, and you know, the month of September to go. So there's 2 months to go in the season. So anything can happen. So I'm hoping for the best, but I'm expecting whatever. You know, as far as my Yankees are concerned. 646-200-3838 is the math. Press 1 to get in on the conversation, man. Just want to shout out to all the other co-hosts, man, at GQ Palace Radio, man, holding it down. The homie, the big author right there, KL Belvin, and his wife Tiffany, expecting congratulations and all that, and all of that. Shout out to the Diva Squad. They do what they do, man, on a Wednesday night following the mayor, because I put it down hard body karate on Tuesdays on the Sports Tip, man. Back to baseball. I just think, like, in the National League, I feel like the Pirates are this is that real crucial period for them right now. 19 games over 500. They're holding down the wild card. They actually didn't tie for first place with Cincinnati, the National League Central, you know. But the last couple of years, you know, we've been through this song and dance before with the Pirates. You know, they take us there, you know, July and August. By the time September 1st rolls around, they're like 10, 15 games under 500. So like I said, I really, it's not that I'm hating on them, because that's an easy thing to say and that's a crutch. But it's just like we've been through this, we've seen this movie before. So I'm going to wait until like at least, you know, August 15th before, you know, we want to put in a real decision about the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're having a great season, you know, but, you know, we've seen this before. Shout out to the Dodgers, man. The Dodgers, you know, they started from the bottom. Now they, you know, they're in first place or whatever in the National League West. Thanks to Yasiel Puig. You know what I mean? Thanks to, you know, Matt Kemp coming back. And you know, the Dodgers are right where they need to be right now. Now we're gonna see, you know, what they're made of, if they can hold on and do what they need to do, because the Giants are fading to black. They were the World Series champions last year. They're 8 games under .500. They're just fading to black, 6 games behind the Dodgers. So the division is there for the Dodgers. They won 4 in a row. You know, they got the little pitching coming together. Yasiel's doing his thing. Hanley Ramirez is doing his thing. You know, but the person that I don't hear from is Adrian Gonzalez, and he should be doing more. But it is what it is. The Dodgers are in first place. The Cardinals holding it down in the Central, a game and a half in front of the Pirates. Atlanta's 7 games in front of Philly for the East, so I think they're going to, you know, do what they think. They'll end up in the playoffs again. But, yeah, right now, man, the big talk is who's going to get suspended. You know, because you got people that's going to be on these playoff teams, you know, or teams that are, you know, thinking about the playoffs. And then, you know, if they have people that's suspended and can't play, then, you know, that changes the whole situation. For example, you have Bartolo Colon from the Oakland A's. He's got 14 wins. The Oakland A's are in first place. He's on that supposed list of people that's supposed to be suspended. So if you get rid of him, you know, the Texas Rangers have Nelson Cruz. You know, you get rid of him, you know, they're contending. You know, so it's going to really hurt their teams. And the trade deadline is July 31st. So I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Do they want to make these announcements and get these suspensions underway before the trade deadline so general managers can do what they need to do as far as, you know, the rest of the season and the pennant race is concerned? A lot of people are going to be affected. You got Melky Cabrera for the Toronto Blue Jays, even though the Blue Jays aren't in the race, and Melky should still be suspended. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you got guys like Gio Gonzalez from the Washington Nationals. You know, he's on the list, but, you know, his thing is kind of suspect because what he purchased from the guy wasn't illegal. So, you know, he's just guilty by circumstance and guilty by association. But this thing, man, is going to come down, and it's going to come down real hard, man. And I just think that if baseball wants to clean their game up and they want to send a message, I think that, you know, they should do it now instead of waiting. You know, everybody starts off with a clean slate for 2014. I think they should do it now and start off 2014 with everybody on an even slate, you know. And as far as Ryan Braun being a liar and all of that and everybody coming down on him for lying, you know, you kind of basically knew what it was, because if they keep tying a name to a situation, it's not for nothing. So, you know, for him to go out there and say that, you know, he didn't have anything to do with it, I think that was, you know, kind of like something that he has to deal with. Because at the end of the day, he knew what was going to happen, and baseball knew what was going to happen. And it's kind of like making him look bad. But again, at the end of the day, he, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers still owe him $117 million. So as the Brewers, you know, would you want to void the contract, you know, allow him to be a free agent and sign with somebody else? And, you know, as the front office and the ownership of the team, you're kind of like in the quandary. What do? You know this guy, you know, he's going to be suspended. You know, he basically lied to everybody. And, you know, he's going to come back next season, and you're still going to owe him $117 million. You know, and the questions aren't going anywhere. So do you deal with that, or do you just, you know, void the contract, which is your right? You know, even though the union might have something to say with it at the end of the day, but he'll eventually become a free agent and somebody else will give him $117 million. You know, so what do you do as ownership? Do you do you bite the bullet and just, you know, take that loss? Because I mean, it's not like you're in the pennant race anyway. Milwaukee Brewers in last place. So I just give him the rest of the season off and let it do what it do. But, yeah, man, after further reviews in the building, GQ Palace is in the air, man. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock to 10, you know how we do. And that's the signal, meaning that we got a caller on the line. T, what's good? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
Hey,
what's
up?
What's happening? What's the deal?
Nothing much. Just wanted to get on here and kick it a little bit with you about whatever.
All right, about whatever, huh?
Yeah,
whatever.
You know I'll get dumbfounded on some of the sports, so...
It's all good. I just wanted to know your opinion in regards... We're going to get into your Eagles a little in a hot second. But
okay.
I just wanted to know your opinion in regards to I know you know the hit that Jadeveon Clowney put on the guy in Michigan, right? From South Carolina in that bowl game last year?
Yeah.
When he knocked the guy's helmet off?
Yeah.
Okay, so now they're saying that if he did that same hit in the game this year, he would get thrown out the game.
Whoa. Why did you get thrown out last year?
That's a good question.
You know?
Wow.
I mean, why are you waiting another year?
That's a good question. That puts him in his proper. I didn't even look at it like that. That puts him in his proper perspective. You need to applaud that. That's a good question right there. You hit the nail right on the head. Applaud that right there. Because you know why? Because even the referee that said, he said that if he had it to do all over again, he would have threw him out the game. But if you look at that hit, what was wrong with that hit?
Hey, it's no worse than some of the other hits that these players take.
And again, you're right. Like you said, why didn't they throw him out the game last year?
Right. Why this year?
And then we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Exactly.
But again, then you look at it like this, T. You see that highlight 1,000 times.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is it just going to be him that they're going to throw out?
Well,
or anybody that knock off somebody's helmet?
Basically, right? it's going to be, you know, anybody. But I think they targeted and made an example of the wrong tackle. You know what I mean? Because that tackle is perfectly legal. And I would challenge anybody to call, you know, and either or hit me on Facebook or whatever after further review, man, and challenge me that hit was an illegal hit. That hit was straight perfect. That's a textbook hit. That was a textbook tackle. What happened was he just jumped the play. That's all he was writing. He should have been in their huddle. He knew what play was running. And then you know what, T, what I want to talk about when nobody discusses as far as that topic is concerned? Why didn't the offensive line block?
Why didn't they block him?
Why didn't they block him? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. And like I said, there's a lot more worse hits.
Yeah.
You know, that you should be talking about besides that one shouldn't even be discussed.
Yeah, I just thought that was a bad example because I just think that hit was perfect, and that's how you teach somebody, you know what I mean? And it's not like, and then they want to make this excuse because that's why they're doing it, as we could segue back, you know, into the NFL, how they had the rule change where, you know, you can't put your head down and spear, but it's not in that context. Only thing, you cannot do that when you're outside the box.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When you're running the play outside the box, you can't do that. You can't put, like, for example, a person like Adrian Peterson, okay, he'll break a long run to the outside and he'll see somebody coming to tackle him. He'll put his head down. You can't do that no more.
Oh, okay. You
understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, so you that's what they're trying to outlaw now. You know, and people are like, well, you can't outlaw things like that because you can't tell, you know, the speed of the game. And all that is correct. All that is right. The speed of the game, you can't tell when somebody's, you know, putting their head down or just, you know, trying to go down. You know what I'm saying?
After a while, you know, all these different rules they making, it's gonna be like arena football. It's gonna be worse than that.
It's gonna be worse than that. It's gonna be like touch football, like two hand
touch.
Right. You know,
all you can do is touch. You can't tackle them.
Right, it takes away from the game because, again, like we just said, that hit by Jadeveon Clowney, which is, you know, outlawed now, is being showed 100, 200 times a day on TV. And every time they show it,
that was last year.
Yeah, and every time they show it, it looks worse and worse because the hit is a clean hit. So what is the point you're trying to make?
It's just something else that they want to bring up in the NFL and, you know, make a big ruckus out of, which, like I said, you should have did it last year.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the safety part of it. I get that. You know what I mean? But if you want to get all the way live with it, then just, you know, just have, again, you know, give them, you know, flags and play flag football.
So that way you
won't have to worry about nobody getting hurt.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, you know, because you're going to take bumps and bruises. That's what it's about, it's hitting. It's getting to the point
now where people are saying, you know, if you can't take the contact, then, you know,
do something else.
Real talk. And that should have been the conversation. But people are trying to be nice and people are trying to, you know, not make people feel bad or whatever. But this is a contact sport, yo.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
You know what I mean?
You're going to get hit.
I mean, you're going to get broken bones. You're going to get dislocated. Joints, everything.
It's all like we used to play all in the game. We used to play, well, shout out to my homies that could play all in the game. You know, just throw the ball in the air, whoever catches, you just crack them. However you crack them, you crack them. But that's how we used to do it. It's all in the game. But yeah, and back, let me go jump on the NFL side a little something, something. What about your Philadelphia Eagles? Your camp just popped off. Your man, Matt Barkley said he's in the building. He wants to be down with the Eagles quarterback job. Michael Vick is looking like he's ready to take some hits this year because he's bulked up. So, I mean, what's your opinion on the quarterback situation in Philly?
Man, I know everybody's showing up for training camp, so I don't know what Kip going to do. I got a feeling that he's going to put Vick out there to start, but I don't know if he shouldn't put him out there doing preseason. But then again, he should maybe to see. But I don't know. They might take him out. That boy took some hits last.
See, I think that as far as that's concerned, if Michael Vick. You know, I mean, you look at it like this. Your best option, you got Michael Vick, you got Nick Foles, you got Matt Barkley. Who's going to give you your best option to win right now?
Right.
So you got to look at it like that. So if Michael Vick gives you your best option to win right now, you install the offense, let him run the offense because he can run that offense. Okay? Nick Foles will win you some games, but he's – no. Who would you rather see? Would you rather see Michael Vick or Nick Foles?
I'd rather see Mike.
Okay, so
Nick is not going to take the chance that Mike will.
Right, and again, Michael Vick didn't get bulked up this offseason for nothing. So he's expecting to play because he's expecting to take, because like you said, he took hits last year, so he's expecting to take hits this year. So he bulked up so he could he could be better. Gain, somebody say he gained 4 pounds of all muscle.
Whoa!
So whatever that means. So he's trying to get ready. So. Everybody's going to have to play as far as the preseason is concerned. You got to see what he's got.
Exactly.
But when it comes to
my boys stay healthy this year.
Yeah, when it comes to that that opener on Monday night, September 9th, against the Redskins, and RG3, he's got to have to go with his best option. And, if Michael Vick is that, then, and I think that'll be the matchup that everybody wants to see, Michael Vick and RG3,
Yes.
If Michael Vick is... Go ahead.
Where they playing in Tampa Bay when we play y'all, right? Or is it in Philly?
No, we're playing in Tampa.
I was going to invite you to go, but...
it's in Tampa Bay. But
I'll just pick you up on the phone.
It's all good. It's all good. That game is Philadelphia and Tampa at Tampa Bay is October 13th. probably the playoffs to be going on and the baseball playoffs to be going on and stuff like that. But yeah, you play us on October 13th. So I got a lot of beefs going on this year. I got a beef with the Eagles. I got a beef with the Miami Dolphins. We got them on a Monday night. What I mean? Shout out to my homie Darryl Johnson. That's his Miami Dolphins and all that. So I got a lot of beefs this year. So my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm expecting my team to do some things this year. So but I'm gonna have my NFL preview show later on. That's the sound of the bell. So you know what that means. We got a caller on the line. Mike, what's good? What's good? What's good?
What's
welcome to the
on,
bigger show,
man.
My dude.
Time.
What's happening? Okay, just in time. Not a moment too soon.
I was talking for a minute, but now I'm back. We're settling score.
What's happening, big dog?
What's going on?
Well,
I was a little under the weather at the playoffs with the Miami Heat, but I'm okay now.
You was way under
I'm
the weather,
okay,
wasn't it?
And look, football season ain't even started.
How was China? Lord, he said he was under the weather. You sure was.
Oh, yeah, man. I was so mad, man. I was just like, wow.
What are your final words on that, man?
Bogus.
Bogus?
Bogus. Yeah, bogus. It was bogus, man.
You gonna leave it at that and
bogus? Because we should have won that sixth game, but it is all good.
I hear you. We signed him back. J.R. Smith signed back for $24 million. You know that, right?
No, he didn't sign back with the Knicks.
Yes, he did.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
I think you know what?
Because you know what? You know what? With the J.R. Smith situation, he had the $2.9 million. He didn't want to resign for that, so he said, you know what? He's gonna go on the free agent market. And I would have let him walk. Who's gonna give him that money?
The stupid
Knicks.
I know we got Nate Robinson. They should have left J.R. is not that good to me.
J.R. Smith is a bum, yo. J.R. Smith is garbage. And I'm a Knicks fan, and I said it. J.R. Smith is garbage. But what are you looking for as far as next year is concerned, man, as far as the Knicks?
I think the Knicks is going to do it next year. I got faith in
the Knicks.
The Knicks
are going to do it next year.
It's going to be on. It's going to be on. It's going to be on. This year is going to be on. I'm telling you.
As a Knicks fan, what's your reaction to Jason Kidd going to coach the Brooklyn Nets?
I think Jason Kidd can do it. I think he was an aggressive player.
As a Knicks fan, I expect a little bit more fire and venom from you. Because how could you just play for the Knicks and then turn around and go coach the Nets?
Well, you know, that's how they do it.
What's up with that?
Wow.
You know, that's how they do it. Who was it? Isaiah Thomas, he was coaching the Knicks at one point?
He was coaching the Knicks back in the Stephon Marbury days.
Yeah, you know, so that's how they do it. You know, so it's like, I give him a little leeway.
Being mighty kind, but I guess that's the way of the world. But so how you feeling that your beloved New York Football Giants re-signed Victor Cruz?
Victor Cruz. I mean, he didn't do bad last year. Don't get me wrong. He didn't do bad last year. You know, the games that I watched with him, I was really just starting to really, like, focus on it and everything. I think I'm going to say. Oh, Lord. I don't think he did bad last year. So I don't consider it a bad move. I don't think it was a bad move.
Okay.
He going to do the salsa again, I guess, all year.
And now you got to sign Hakeem Nicks.
They got to sign who?
Your other receiver, Hakeem Nicks, on the other side. Now you got to sign him.
Mm. Mm-hmm. They gave us some big money for Victor Cruz, too, didn't they?
I'm still mad about this JR. I didn't even know nothing about that.
Yeah, man.
He's a bum, man. man.
But basically,
they did not need him.
I mean, what else are you going to do, man? The Knicks' hands are tied, man, for the next couple of years, man. I think I hear the bell coming up in our future. Is it the bell that I hear? Oh, there it is. Well, God, look. I'm predicting the future. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
What's going on?
Oh,
how are you?
Lord.
Shout out to Mr. Vina behind the board. We planned it just like that.
I think it was great for you, Kia.
Yes.
I heard what he was saying. Of course, he don't know what he be talking about. So I'm not even paying attention to what he's saying.
I know Kobe. I know Kobe gonna come back just as worse as he does when he left. He ain't gonna let a bum.
You better be glad. I'm telling you right now. You better be glad. I'm not thinking about basketball because this show will be bleeping out my curses right now.
This is a perfect example about Kobe. I watched the picture.
I'm telling you right now. We're gonna be starting to be bleeping some curses out.
Shaq was on it, right?
I'm gonna have to play it at the end of my song.
Listen. Jack was on the movie, the picture with my wife and kids. You know, picture with Damian Wayne? And he was playing a part, and he had a baby in his hand. He said, oh, let me shoot the ball. He's like, because Kobe don't like to pass the ball. I said, wow.
Moving right along. We talk about some football right now, and I wanted to get your opinion in regards to the hit by Jadeveon Clowney, you know, the guy from South Carolina, your favorite team. How did now they're saying if that hit would have happened in the game this year, that would be an illegal hit. And I just want to know your opinion on that. They would actually throw him out the game.
I didn't even look at the rule change. Has the rule changed yet? Has it changed?
It's not a rule change. It's just some garbage that they trying to put in the air. That hit with that Jadeveon Clowney made on the cat against Michigan in the bowl
Michigan
game when he knocked his helmet off.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so there's no rule change. It's just they say that if he would have made that hit in the game this year, he would get thrown out. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, they said
yes, he will. He will get thrown out the game if he made that hit this year. No, I'm talking about the college. Jadeveon Clowney played for the South Carolina.
No, I'm saying you talk about. Wait a minute, let me get you straight. You talk about the hit that he made in the Michigan game.
Yeah,
you talk about if he was a hit this year, because they don't play Michigan this year, I don't think. But if he was a hit somebody the same way,
he would be thrown out the game, yes. And I'm saying that, what was wrong with that hit in the first place?
There was nothing wrong with the hit.
There was nothing wrong with it. And the first T made a good point. She said that if it's so bad, how come they didn't throw him out the game last year?
It's muted. He wouldn't get. It's muted, so he didn't get. Yeah.
So I just think that they show that replay over and over and over and over. You know, they show
they
it at nauseam.
They show replay so many times.
Right. They show the replay so many times. And what are you supposed
nothing.
To do? And it's a good hit. It's not even questionable. It's a good hit. So what are you supposed to do?
I'm not saying pay nothing for it. I guess they ain't made nothing to me because I'm not.
Like you say, let it be flag football. If you know contact, you know that's what the sport is.
And so Kia, what's your outlook on the Ryan Braun situation? You have to spend it for 65 games.
Well, he got 65?
He got the rest of the season, 65 games.
Wow. No, I didn't see the, wow. Hey, he's guilty. He admitted it.
Yeah, he's guilty of sin. But
he's guilty.
But he'll be back next year. Because Milwaukee owes him $117
million. Right, but they don't have to pay him while he's suspended. So once that suspension is lifted, they don't have to pay him while he's suspended because he's suspended without pay.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said he will be back next year.
Milwaukee
owes him $117 million. This year he's suspended without pay. He gets no dough. He's good. He's done for the season. It's a wrap. But the point being is all he's doing is sitting out this year, and he'll be back next year. So did they give him enough punishment, or was it just basically a slap on the wrist?
I'm sorry, go ahead. No. I'm thinking about the 65 games. I'm thinking, okay, I know what you're saying. Because he's going to be suspended, but next year.
He'll be back next year. He'll be back.
What is his money? What is his contract money?
I don't know, but I know they owe him $117 million.
Okay.
For eight years. $117 million.
Okay.
Which is not really nothing.
It's
not really nothing, but they owe him. But my point being is, he's going to come back like nothing happened.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Wow. That's the deal.
That's exactly what they're going to mold him to do. His agent, everybody's going to mold him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Get the
Brewers.
And then let's go back on and get ready for next year. They're going to try to make him ready for next year.
The Brewers are like, what do they do? Because they can't let him go. If they let him go, he'll be a free agent. Somebody else will give him $100 million.
They're not going to let him go. They're going to swallow him.
They're going to keep him.
What
are you going to do?
What did he do?
He took illegal substances, performance enhanced drugs, steroids.
Did you see the
boy? They lied about it.
Did you see what they said for the Broncos?
Yeah, Von Miller. And see, Kia, that's why I'm glad you called. That's why I don't make no predictions and put nothing in the air too early. Because see, now look at Von Miller. He's going to be out for the first four games.
Four games if he don't fight it. But, people say he's going to fight it. But he's got, even though he's not dead, he's got for marijuana.
And is it the weed legal in Colorado?
Well, I'm assuming so.
Hey, yeah, the weed is legal in Colorado.
He
got busted for weed?
Weed is legal.
You can smoke weed.
Unless he smokes it in New Mexico or something. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Maybe it's not legal for the player.
That's a slippery slope right there, yo.
That's crazy.
I got to make a mental note to myself. Cancel that trip to Denver. Cancel that trip. Strike that from the record. Listen, I didn't know they suspended him for weed. I thought they were suspending him for that other stuff, the steroids.
But the fact that's why I think Von Miller might fight his because of that, because he's not Pence.
Yeah, that's gonna be funny. I like to see how that go down, because that's gonna be like, my client was smoking marijuana, which is legal in Colorado. So why are you suspending? You know what I mean?
Like, he's not busted for pants.
That's crazy. Mm-mm. Oh, so man. They never had that trial on CNN. That's my first. I knew he got suspended, but that was my point. Like, people make, predictions and this and that and the third with not knowing who's going to be around. You know what I'm saying? That changes the whole situation for Denver. You know what I'm saying? Without Von Miller.
Wow.
Their first game is against Baltimore. They play the Ravens.
And I'm so pissed. I'm hoping he don't fight his suspension. I gotta have him in that Ravens game.
And then they play. And then their second game. They play the Giants.
It's the Giants. And then they play Oakland. They play Oakland the third game. And then I think they got
Oakland the third game. And then they got the Eagles. They play the
Eagles. And then they play the Cowboys. Right.
And then they play the Cowboys. That's right.
Yep. Wow.
So he'll be back presumably for the Cowboy game.
October 6th. Which is the 5th game.
Yep, October
6th. I want him there for that. I want him there because I want him to knock Flacco's head right off his shoulder. That's why I got to have him in that game.
I don't do any picks, yo. I wait till they get closer to the season because I don't know what's going to happen.
You saw me. You know I'm going to pick Denver to win this game up in Denver. And then all of a sudden, Von Miller come out with this mess yesterday.
Hold up. That's the bell. We got Ziggy on the line. Ziggy, what's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show. What's happening?
What's going on, people?
All right. What's happening? Can we get a status update on Miguel Cabrera?
He's out.
For how long?
He's out, but at least for the night.
Mm-hmm.
With the hip.
The hop, the hip hop, and you don't stop.
There you go.
You better
y'all too. Oh my goodness!
You better hope Chris Davis don't hit no home runs tonight.
you and Kia running packs, but it's all good though. Y'all run like a pack of wolves. It's all good.
It just seems like you already know fans that's not used to winning nothing. But they're not used to pick out
brand crumbs. I'm sorry, I can't have three games.
When you use the brand crumb, that's what you talk about a mess. I'm the type of fan, though, Kim, but you got to realize, I'm the type of fan, one at a time, man, respect on the line.
I'm going to dog my own team out. That's how real I am. Let me tell you something. I'm the one and the only Lions fans that's trying to say be realistic about it. Let's play this out. Let's see what we got. You don't hear me talking about we going to win no Super Bowl. You don't never hear me say nothing like that. But when I got my other three teams, I'm gonna stick behind them. We got.
You said your other three
teams. I'm talking about Tigers, Red Wings.
Oh, your other hometown team, right.
Yeah, right. You know, but hey, I'm gonna dog out the Pistons and I always say Joe Dumars based on
the move. I don't blame anybody who say their team gonna win the championship or win. I'm one for saying that every year.
And I don't blame you
every
either.
Every year I got the Steelers going.
And let me tell you something. One thing about it, when you talk football, but when you talk football, you talk about Pittsburgh, and
Lord.
You have a six Lombardi Trophy.
Let me tell you something, Rodney. Hold on, let me tell you something. I got T on the line. I got Mike as my witness. I got Rich back there behind the board. I got Miss Lavina holding me down. Last year, we tried to tell Kia.
But there's nothing wrong with that, though.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Don't get it twisted, fam.
It was nothing wrong, but Rodney.
As Miss Lavina and Big Rich, the CEO, are my witness, I'm telling you, my dude, we tried to walk her through the sketch. We was holding her hand. Listen, we was holding her hand. Like, come on now. Come on, let's be realistic about it. Right, Rodney? Let's be realistic.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me? I was like, what we got? What are we dealing with here?
You know, I don't need nobody holding my hand. Let me tell you right now, I'm not going to lie. I'm a worse Stiller fan than I am a Laker fan. I don't play with the Stiller.
We know.
What I'm saying is, you got three teams that's been there and done that. Who else is a Laker and a Stiller fan? So you and a Yankee fan. So you automatically gonna win. You automatically two steps ahead of everybody on any type of debate when it comes down to sports. When it comes down to team sports.
Okay, but what I'm supposed to do?
Because you got. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question then. As a Tiger fan and as you being a Yankee fan, when you post what you post about Yankee or you dog my team out, somebody's supposed to step up. Because despite it all, yeah, and granted, we don't have 22 World Series.
27, get it right.
I'm being sarcastic when I say that. I mean, I'm just saying we don't have that history. I understand, I get it. But when we're talking about what we see right now and what we're doing right now, we got a better chance of winning than anybody do.
But you had the same chance last year. We was in the same spot last year.
Okay,
same
somebody got to come
y'all
in
was going, y'all was going somebody through y'all dance, throwing dance with the White Sox. You
somebody
was going
gotta
through
come
with the White Sox, back and forth.
Somebody got to be the runner-up, though.
Right.
Somebody got to be the runner-up.
But you know what,
the runner-up.
You know,
exactly,
hey, it is what it is.
And exactly, I'm going to say, I can't stand the Tigers. I hope they fall flat on their face. And as a Tiger fan, you're supposed to respond to that. As a Yankee fan, I'm going to respond to you.
But what I'm saying is, I didn't realize when you responded to me, I seen her. And I said, oh, okay, now here she go. You know, because I'm not going
to. Can't be talking about my Yankees now.
Okay, I understand it. I knew you weren't far behind, too. I knew that. I was like, I said he, and then I said, hey, he on here. But he ain't said nothing.
Nah, I ain't gonna say nothing about this. You can't be talking about my Yankees. Don't talk about my Buccaneers. I will get you.
And when it come down to your teams, your Miami Hurricanes and your Buccaneers,
right.
Don't I say hello? Where you at?
Yeah, I always say you do.
Hey, if anybody gonna speak up on these two teams, it's gonna be you.
That's what it is, man. But yeah, Rodney, man, I just wanted to get your opinion in regards to that hit by Jadeveon Clowney, man. Do you think that, you know, like the referees and the NCAA is saying now, if he does that hit in the game this year, it's going to be ejectable offense. What do you think about that?
Why don't they just play touch football then?
Yeah.
Why don't they just go ahead and put pom-poms on them? You know what I'm saying? Flags on them. You know what I'm saying? You know those things that you get when you go to the restaurant and they have you wait?
Those little things that they give you and they're supposed to light up when your table is ready?
Yeah.
They give you one of those, and when they light up, that's a tackle. So you
Why they put a red shirt on the quarterbacks? No.
That's some Shaka Khan music playing in the backfield.
You know what they're coming out stemming from that? The clown, he made a statement about a quarterback who, you know, they fear him. What they do? You can't. He rattles every quarterback, and he does.
Yeah, but Kia, come on, Kia. If you're gonna make an example of a hit that's supposed to be an offense to get you thrown out the game, that's the wrong one.
What are you supposed to do though? What else was he supposed to do? The lineman didn't block. The lineman didn't block.
Exactly.
He had a clear shot at him.
He had a clear shot.
He took one step and he was looking up at the stars.
Look at the game he played. He clearly outbeat the lineman. Come on.
He did not late hit him.
No, he was in the backfield.
He was in the backfield. He took the
whole play up.
He's that fast. He's really in. I can't wait to see him when he goes to the NFL.
But again, like you said,
he really is.
Like you said, Rodney, where was the blocking? Who was supposed to block him?
Don't you think? And that was against my team. So,
yeah,
I think
thank you for bringing that up. I was waiting for you to bring that up. So, again, you would be the perfect person to ask. Where was the blocking at?
It was none on that play. It was none.
And Clowney did exactly what he was supposed to do.
He was supposed to rack him up.
And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And how can you penalize him for that?
So, what do you tell defensive coaches when they tell their defensive guys how to hit and how to, you know.
That's the problem. What do you tell him?
What do you tell him?
I don't know. I have no idea. I wouldn't know what to tell him from now on. I wouldn't know what to do.
Clowney is a beast, and he's going to be a beast this year. He's going to make a statement. He's coming out number one.
Yeah, he's coming out. Spurrier already knows. He's coming out.
It makes me mad that a team like the Jaguars or some other team could wind up hitting him.
He's coming out.
He's eating me up.
But I just think that, you know, that they're putting too much emphasis on that, you know, and they're taking away the spirit of the game because that's what you want to see. Like you said, what do you tell your defensive guys, you know, to not hit? Because if you don't hit, you're not making a team.
Right.
It's that simple.
Aren't they trained that way from little camp, so they can tell you, from pee wee football through all of that, if you play defense, you hit. That's it.
They're
trained that way.
I don't know, man.
And you know what? Football is a type of sport. If you is not playing at 100% or half-stepping or watching out for somebody else, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. And again, if you're not built for that, then don't play. Play something else.
That's what makes me mad about Mario Williams. You should get beat. I mean, for him to be that big, and he cannot, you know, and he get. You know, just the way he played.
Talk about Marion Williams that went to the Buffalo Bills?
He was with Houston Texans?
I mean, he fell off the map. I thought he was going to do some things with Buffalo.
He was all that. He was all that. He came into the league, and all of a sudden he just fell off the ladder.
Yeah.
Like,
he's on the witness protection program or something. I don't know.
I know y'all wasn't talking about the. You remember about a couple of weeks ago, the last 2 weeks, I've been talking about Kansas City?
Yeah.
And I know you say you don't like, you know, picking this early right now, predictions. But with them four games, wow, you know what I'm saying?
The only team that can come above that
is Peyton is going to have a high scoring. He's going to have to outshoot people the first 2 weeks.
That AFC West is going to be bananas, man.
Yes. But Peyton going to have him.
Yep.
Peyton's gonna have to have a shootout the first four games for them to even be for them not to jump out the gate worse than 3-1.
Yeah, yeah. Look at their schedule,
Well, they're gonna have to do something because Jamar Charles is the truth, and I know that.
That's right.
I'm not worried about that. And Flowers is the truth. Everybody else is suspect until they say something. But those two guys stand out.
Jamar Charles is the truth. Dwayne Bowe is the truth. Alex Smith is the truth to me.
Hold on, wait a minute.
What happened? Who not the truth?
Quarterback.
Oh,
Alex Smith is the truth.
Oh, you bugging. Alex Smith is the truth.
Alex Smith is that deal. Kia, just because his numbers don't look good.
Hold on. Hey, Rodney, hold up. Kia, what's the matter with Alex Smith's game?
There's nothing matter with Alex Smith's
There you go. Case closed. Next.
Had them proved for him to be the truth.
I don't understand it, though. He wins, though.
Yeah, his job got taken. His job got taken on a circumstance.
That job got taken away, and that was the first. You know what? I was watching the top 10 myths. I was watching the top 10 myths of NFL, and they said, and number two was, the number two myth was, you can't lose your job over an injury. Because of an injury. Just ask Alex, what happened to Alex Smith? That myth is out the window.
Yep.
They always say you can't lose your job over injury.
If Colin Kaepernick wasn't making all those runs, and he didn't have that good game on that Monday night against the Bears, then Alex Smith would have, had a chance.
They was in the eight. As long as
Kaepernick was winning and they was taking him, Jim Harbaugh was like, you know what? We're going to ride this till the wheels fall off.
Hey, Mayor, and the year before that, he was only, in this microwave society, I assume people forget, he was only one play away from going to the Super Bowl then.
Yes. So, I mean, what's to say that, Alex Smith is not going to go to Kansas? And that's the reason why the Chiefs are going to be good, because they got a good quarterback. Matt Castle was garbage.
And they got Andy Reid, who's grounded.
Got a good coach.
Andy Reid, who's grounded.
It's after what he does this year. They are
That's fair.
I'm not saying he can't quarterback. I'm saying he's not the truth.
Right.
I think
Flowers. They have him because he's on that team, but he's a good.
I'm worried about them because I like the San Diego Chargers. They're just gonna pass the San Diego Chargers right by. Nobody talk about Phillip Rivers. Ain't nobody talking about Alex Smith.
But you know what? They got a new coach, new offensive line. They got a whole new structure down there. Let's see what they're gonna do this year.
Andy Reid is not gonna play that losing mentality stuff either.
No, Philly just didn't have no offensive line last year.
Okay, so the Chiefs first four games of the season: Jackson at Jacksonville, home against Dallas, at Philadelphia, and home against the Giants. What's going to be their record after 4 weeks?
They should at least be 2-2.
At least two and two. You see the Chiefs 2-2,
maybe 3-1.
Now they
want
to
be
3-1.
I don't like to talk about this right now.
Jacksonville game is a win. They got Dallas at
home. What Dallas team gonna show up?
But for some reason, Romo plays better on the road than he does home.
Is it gonna be the four interception Tony Romo?
No.
Or is it gonna be the four 23 for 31, 420?
Well, you know what? That'll be the first showdown. It'll be Tony Romo and Alex Smith, and we'll see what's what.
Right. But
you know what I'm saying?
Better on the road than he plays in his own home.
And then the Chiefs go into Philadelphia for that reunion game on the Thursday night.
They knew what they was doing.
The NFL schedule is kind of built in for them. You know what I mean?
The only thing
that you got to wait for is the dates. That's it. Because as soon as the regular season is over, you already know who you're playing next year.
Yeah.
You got your six division games, right?
Yeah.
Play another. You play the other conference. That's four games. That makes 10. And then you play six more interconference games. That's 16.
Yep. Like.
So you basically know
how they're doing it. Don't they rotate it now? Like as far as the
they rotate. They rotate like the AFC East. They rotate that. But you know who you're gonna play. You know what I'm saying? So basically, all you gotta figure out is the dates. So now, as far as with the Kansas City Chiefs in their first four games of the season, their fourth game is against the Giants. At home.
Up in New Jersey, up in Kansas City.
So they got it's going to be at MetLife.
Okay.
No, it's going to be in Kansas City. I'm sorry.
All right.
Right. So they got the first game on the road at Jacksonville, which is a win. Then they got Dallas at home. They go to Philly.
And they got
the Giants at home.
They're
going to
be 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're going to lose all those NFC East games?
Yep.
Hey, I heard Romo might be a new person.
I hope so, because I don't want to talk about it, man.
They talking about he's doing mountain climbing like he Jerry Rice.
No, no, you know what I think? He does. Romo plays well. So you can't not. He plays well on the road, and he does play well on, because he came in game four and Ratchet and beat the Giants. He took a road game. He won. He beat good teams on the road, and when he gets home in his own turkey room, look at his road record.
They would have beat the Giants at home too.
Last year, Monday night football, the game that the Giants played against the Cowboys in Dallas.
Where Dez Bryant, the fingertip was too long.
Yep.
Okay.
He can grab it.
That game last year when the Giants and the Cowboys played in Dallas.
And the Cowboys won that game.
Yep. The Cowboys lost that.
Yep, they lost the second round.
See, this little stuff like that. Last year, you know what last year the Cowboys reminded me of? When the Cowboys had, like, Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett and them. They would always come back. Their games would be – the Cowboys games last year were good.
They would be getting killed,
and then they would come back at the end.
Come back.
You know what I'm saying?
Come back.
So,
that's why they call Roger
Staubach. That Giants game when they came back, the Giants had them beat, and they came back in and could almost won that game. That was a great game.
Right.
Mayor, you know how tough the comeback was.
Yeah, you know, and I mean that, you know, Romo, you know, he has the tools for that. He got Dez Bryant on the end. He got his DeMarco Murray, as, you know, running back. He got his tight end, Jason Witten, who had like 1,000 catches in one game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got the tools. And, I mean, and the yardage, he threw, like last year when they played, okay, they played that Monday night against the Bears. He had 307. They lost. They lost against the Ravens. He had 261. They lost to Carolina. They won to Carolina. They had 227. They beat the.
But
they lost
the
to the
fans,
Giants. That's that game
the
they
fans,
lost. Huh?
The fans ate him up on that game.
Hey, they had like five interceptions.
They ate him up.
Yeah, I remember that game. I was watching it.
Yeah.
But I mean, with my point being that he puts up numbers. And he might make mistakes. And he makes a ton of mistakes, but Tony Romo and the Cowboys are due. That's all I'm gonna leave it at that. That's why I said for them to go to Arrowhead and win that game.
That's why the Chiefs should be 1-1 by the time they play. And then all of a sudden you got Eagles. They got to go into Philadelphia, go with to that crowd there. You know, Eagles ain't that crowd is distant.
The Eagles are going to have to worry about who's going to be their starting quarterback. That's what the Eagles got to worry about. Who's their starting quarterback?
Watch him playing with Vic's head like that.
I don't know, man.
One minute he can start for me, the next minute he can't.
Maybe it's some kind of motivation or something. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe it's a motivational ploy or something.
If you ain't motivated by time, you as long as you've been in the league, then you need to just go away.
But again, you got to look at it like this. You know, he's a new coach stepping into the situation. It's not like the quarterback situation is set in stone. You know what I mean?
That's why you put your best foot forward. I think Vic can run this read option for
So at this point in the game, in training camp or whatever,
do you see Michael Vick being the starting quarterback on that Monday night in Washington?
I don't know.
Okay, that says it all right there. If you don't know, then what are you going to do? What are you doing?
He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Okay, so Keith, you saying it's going to be Michael Vick?
I think it's going to be Michael Vick.
Okay. You're saying it's going to be Michael Vick.
I would like to see it be Michael Vick.
Rodney said he would like to see it be Michael Vick.
Do you think Blakey can run that read option the way, you know, better than Vick can run? Because you need a running quarterback that can run it and can get out the box. So you think Blakey is better than Vick? Wasn't that the problem last year? The problem last year was they didn't have no offensive line.
Nobody could run that offense last year.
You know,
Superman couldn't have ran that offense last year.
If you tweak the offense, then you tweak the situation.
You got got to get somebody that's going to block, though. You can put all the X's and O's.
You got to start from the inside out.
You can put all the X's and O's and scheme and game plan. But if the guy in front of you always beating you, it's going to blow it up.
Right, right. And if he's not doing his job, then, you know, you're not going to get no yards. It's evidence flashy with Michael Vick is getting tore up.
That total offensive line should have been fired.
The coaching staff got let go.
Hey, didn't Andy Reid take about four or five people with him?
Yeah.
They knew
what they were doing.
He took some guys with him.
And you knew he didn't wait too long for a job either, did you?
No.
So that tells you all you need to know right there.
The retreads.
They snapped him right up. They snapped him right up.
Don't nobody do retreads better than
As soon as he was let go, he was going to get a job. We always knew that. But that's my thing about how we got a job. Okay, Lovie Smith didn't get a job yet. Some coaches did. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, we know he's going to not going to wait too long.
Hey,
Fisher didn't wait too long either. Once Fisher got to Tennessee, he was gone. He was hired.
Don't know other sport recycle coaches like NBA.
Like the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the NBA does it, you know what I mean? Major League Baseball does it, you know what I'm saying? But now, I mean, on a consistent basis, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Because now if you notice that, you know, how many black colleges, black NCAA basketball coaches can you name off the top of your head?
Not too many.
Shaka Smart.
And he just came the last 4 years and nobody know about him until VCU started.
And the point of my question being is Nolan Richardson is coaching somewhere I know. Isaiah Thomas was coaching at Florida International, but he got fired.
Tubby Smith.
He was at Minnesota. Somebody else picked him up. So, like, again, it's like, where are they at? Before you could pick out a few black college coaches. What about even them for football?
You got the
cat at Stanford.
Yeah, you got down in
Turner Gill.
Where's he at now?
He was East Coast, somewhere on the East Buffalo last.
Okay, Buffalo. Okay, all right. I'm okay. I think he is coaching. I'm not sure if he's still coaching at Buffalo. I'm not really sure. But yeah,
like,
again,
I know
it
was last year. I don't know if he moved or not.
Right.
There gotta be over 7 black coaches in college football. I think that's the number.
Wow.
I know it's less than 10, but it's more than 7 black coaches that are coaching in the
college. And major schools, or you just talk about all together?
Major schools that play on that, no, all together, major schools.
Kids.
If I'm not mistaken, I read the article.
Yeah, somebody,
there
some,
seven,
yeah. Deal with
there
that.
There is seven, about seven, seven coaches, black coaches.
Where did Mike Tomlin, what was he coaching at before he got to
Tampa Bay? He went to Women Mary. He went to Tampa Bay. He was Tampa Bay's defensive side. He played ball at Women Mary.
Okay.
Everybody was shocked about that when Tomlin became the Steelers coach. Everybody know once you become a Steelers coach, your lifetime, you would never get fired. With the Steelers don't fire coaches, these people are retired, call it quits, retired. You know they didn't give it to Wisenhunt. I don't know the reason why they didn't give it to Wisenhunt. Why they Rooney always wants things. Every coach to every organization to interview a black coach. That's Rooney rule. So I'm trying to figure out, did the Chiefs interview a black coach? Did Lovie Smith get interviewed for a coaching job when he got fired?
I don't know.
Lovie won 10 games and got fired. So what was up with that?
Did Lovie get the interview for a job? Did the Chiefs interview? No, Chiefs just picked Andy Reid. They didn't interview nobody.
The Rooney rule is to me is just something that they just put out there. That's decoration. It's window decoration, yo.
They proved their point though. They come out with Tomlin. Tomlin ain't never been a coach before and he's thriving.
But that's one. Open the door to the Art Shells of the world. You know what I mean? To the Dennis Greens of the world. Okay, so I get what you're saying, Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers have how many coaches in the last 30 years?
Three.
You know what I mean? So they had what, Chuck Knoll, they had Akawa, you know what I mean? So how many coaches have they had? Three. So what you're saying is the turnover, if you want to slide a black coach in there every once in a while, you had a black coach for about 5 minutes, Wayne Funk, right? Right?
He was,
you know what I'm saying?
Black.
So,
he was not black.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know.
We're
a family show here after
the
review.
He stuck a, you will always hear me when you talk about Fonz leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm.
Even though his record was good, no record could have been nothing but good with Barry. You couldn't have no choice but to be good with Barry. He was a goofball. He'd be on the sideline. He looked like he don't even want to be there.
Right.
He always looked like he was worried about something.
Like he was worried about something. Like if he left the gas on at the house or.
Like he didn't know the play. He forget the play. He don't know the play. Somebody call a play. He won't have no headphones.
But again, hold up. Again, back to your point about the black coaches. My team had a black coach, and we got rid of him, and I'm still kind of upset about that.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if they don't get a chance. You got Leslie Frazier. Leslie Frazier's with the Vikings. So, you know. So, I mean, you know.
You got the Bengals. You got
Marvin Lewis with the Bengals. You know what I'm saying?
They've been trying to run him out. They've been trying to run Marvin out every year for the last 5 years.
The Bengals on the come up.
Yeah.
The Bengals are, and that's a warning shot to Kia. The Bengals are on the come up. I'm letting you know. The Bengals are on the come up.
I'm telling
you,
like Andy Dalton.
I think Andy Dalton had an off year last year, and if he needs to step up just like Josh Freeman.
Yeah.
He got to step up, just like Josh Freeman. You know, and I'm telling you, Kia. I'm telling you, as a friend, the Bengals are on the come up. I'm telling you. The Bengals are on the come up. I'm telling you.
Come on, please.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it like that. I'm going to leave it at that. The Bengals are on the come up.
Leave it like that. You know how I ain't worried.
If I was you, I'd be worried.
Well, you know,
it's okay.
I'm not worried.
You got the Bengals on the second Monday night game.
Exactly.
The Bengals the second Monday night game. Mm-hmm. Then you got them on a Sunday night. So both of them games will be on national television. It's the homeboy bowl. It's Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin, the homeboy bowl.
Oh, please. Yeah. There ain't no homeboy bowl. It's going to be the Steelers bowl. Ain't no homeboy bowl.
I see T is in the building being conspicuously quiet. You know we're going to get on her Eagles. And Mike, I don't know if Mike fell asleep or what's going on with Mike.
I got to bring them back to life, remember, this year. You remember I had the funeral
last year. We're going to bring them back to life,
Mike. What kind of fan is this? What kind of fan is this? We sit up here and talk about, like Mary just said, we sit up here talking about Eagles, and we got an Eagle fan sitting in the background.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's in the building. She plays the cut. You know. Go ahead, T, speak up for yourself.
I'm a ride or die. I bleed green. You can talk about them. They messed up last year. Hey, they did it.
October 13th, they're going to mess up this year, too. Rodney, let me give T.O. Shine one more time. Go ahead.
Thank you for one of our four wins last year at your house.
Okay, yes, can you applaud that, please? Applaud that. There you go. All right. There you go. That's a Detroit Lions fan to a friend of the Eagles fan. Applaud that. There you go. All right. So, Rodney, let me tell you, man, I'm going to say this story, and this is the last time I'm going to say this story for utter. Eagles and Buccaneers last year, right? Mick Foles is in the game, right? Tampa Bay is doing their thing. I'm counting on a victory. I'm getting ready to say, well, you know what? Tuesday night is going to be on, because I'm going to talk a lot of junk to T about her whack Eagles. So, lo and behold, I can remember that game. Foles takes them down to, like, the 5-yard line. They get, a pass interference call. He takes them in for the touchdown and beats my Buccaneers. That's one of them games that you get snatched away from you at the end. And T, as you can tell, she's still not letting me live that down.
take you about 2 weeks to get over it.
Yeah, it took me. Yo, I was so heated, sir, on the show. I was heated, yo. I was very, very. But you know what made my day? I got to live off of the rantings of Kia when we was trying to tell her about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what made me feel a little bit better. And Mike and his New York Giants. I hear he's in the cut somewhere. Ooh. Chilling in the cut. He ain't gonna say nothing until his Giants win the game. That's my man. When the Giants lose, he has some kind of illness. Every time the Giants lose, he have a cold or a hangnail or something, you know.
Yeah, but I'm hoping and praying that Michael Vick be the starting quarterback.
Okay, I mean, you know, I think that at the end of the day, he's gonna be their best option, though. No pun intended. He's gonna be the best option for that.
Kelly is no fool who gonna run that option for him, and if he can trust Blake to run that option. He know what Vick can do. You know
but
what
they talking about? They may even put Blake
offense.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Another college coach trying to make the big boy climb. All right, Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve Spurrier, he been there and done that when he was at the Redskins and it didn't pan out.
That's why I was talking about Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
I think it pan out. Let's see what he does this year, how he gets the Eagles
so
motivated. What is
your definition of pan out? 8-8, 10-6, the playoff?
Even if he gets 9-7 and don't make the playoff, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You got to ask an Eagle fan about that. So, see, is 9-7 be acceptable?
No. Because Jeff Lowry, you got to think about him too. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know. Even though he kept Andy all them years, but Andy
right.
never lost like he did last year either.
Right.
You know, so he's going to try to go for more than that.
So what would be an acceptable number for you?
He better go to the Super Bowl.
Well, you ain't
coming out that tunnel.
We're gonna be pulling off the rooftop in December.
I'm just saying,
backing off the window ledge.
It'll
be all right.
McNabb is not coming on the field. No,
that's
time
right.
Soon.
Brian Westbrook is not walking through that door.
No.
Harold Carmichael is not walking through.
Yo is not walking through the door.
Jonathan was a mama's boy from the when I first met him. I seen all of that.
Ain't
you know, it's
them
for him to get out there and
just love your mama.
Huh?
Don't you supposed to love your mama?
Well, I'm talking about the way that she. I'm telling you, I used to work for him. When he got hit that time, she was up there screaming, "Oh God, my baby!" I told him to get
that was
a
meal ticket.
Job.
Stop playing.
Hey, I'm just screaming too.
Stop playing.
But she said that she told him to get the ice cream truck job.
That's his mama though. That's mama.
I don't care. She was making money from the soup.
Okay, but that's mama. Okay, now that she's making money from the soup, was she supposed to take her emotions out of a big hit?
She the one said that he should have came out.
That's like when Stephon Marbury's mother came on the floor when Jason Williams broke his leg. Remember that, Ziggy?
Yeah.
Jason Williams broke his leg, and Stephon Marbury's mother came on the floor, and Stephon Marbury was like trying to tell his mom to back off, and she was don't be. He was like smacking him. Don't be that. I don't care where we at. I was like, oh, I never seen that before. He was chastising him in front of everybody. But I'm your mama, boy. That's the last game that Jason Williams ever played when he broke his leg, yo.
Wow.
I remember that. I remember that crystal clear. Stephon Marbury was like trying to get his mother off the floor. She was like, don't be telling me to go nowhere. I was like, that was funny. But, yeah, man, it is what it is, man. The moms try to, you know, do what they do, man, and help the situation. As far as Donovan McNabb and the Eagles, man, I think that, you know, it was circumstances, you know. They went to the Super Bowl, you know. It was like he couldn't get it done. They you know kept going to the championship game, kept losing, whatever. They finally made it to the Super Bowl. He had that receiver. Him and the receiver was beefing, Now all of a sudden, you know what I mean? He's throwing up at the game, and they
exactly.
had a chance to win. But, you know, the Patriots just did what they had to do. But, I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like Donovan McNabb was like persona non grata. Nobody wanted to mess with him. Why? Why? I don't understand. I never understood
that.
Let me
tell you what I think it was, though. Especially on the field. It's not like he had the strongest arm to begin with.
Right.
But it was almost like his work ethic took a back step because he gained a lot of weight the last 2 years.
He really did.
He looked like he was an offensive lineman. I was like, look at my goodness.
What was
he could barely run.
Making all them babies, that's what was wrong with
him.
Sitting out the wind.
That'll do it.
Who is this?
My Donovan.
Oh, I'm Donovan. Never had a problem. It is what it is. I wish he could have won the Super Bowl, but he didn't.
What kind of year are you expecting out of Big Ben, Kia? How many yards? How many touchdowns?
I know.
I'm setting myself
when up. When I go down to camp, I'll be seeing Ben shortly. 4 days down, if it's down to the cold, I'll be in his ear. Ben better have a hell of a damn season. He better have a hell of a damn season.
Let me repeat my question. I don't know maybe if you didn't hear my question. I said, what kind of year do you think Ben Roethlisberger is going to have as far as yardage-wise? As far as what? How many? Give me a number.
I'll give you numbers when I see him in camp. Let me see him in camp, and I'll give you some numbers. I'm going to see him in camp soon.
Well, I can tell you about my quarterback.
All right.
I would rather have
about Matthew Stafford, man.
I would rather have W's than numbers. Give me a W any day before you give me 400 yards and you throw a late pick.
Okay,
and
right now.
You throw off your back feet.
What's the acceptable record for the Lions right now? 9-7?
9-7. Well, I think I'm on the way, but hey.
You had your chance.
As a realistic Lions fan,
we done moved on. I asked you about Ben. You told me you would talk to him. You said when you see him, you'll holler. Okay, you had your chance. The train has moved on now. The train has moved on to Detroit.
I'm talking about the Lions. I was talking about the Lions.
But could you let a Lions fan talk about the Lions
first?
No,
I'm not a Lions fan, but I think it's going to be...
Okay. Let the Lions fan talk first. Let the
Lions
fan talk. Okay. Go ahead, G.
Hey, go ahead, Kia. I would like to hear what you had to say.
No, I was just saying when he said 9-7, I said I think they could be a little bit better than 9-7 this year. Thank you. That's what I was saying.
And I was saying that I beg to differ because
as a Lions fan,
I feel the back out the battle wounds and the scars. I'm on the outside looking in while y'all holding up one of y'all six trophies.
Oh please, that was
it every year, you know. So. Hey, I would like to be optimistic, you know, but, hey, I can't, not all the time. I know how these cats work.
So, I mean, Reggie Bush is not going to, you know, Reggie Bush doesn't give you any hope?
He gives me a running game. He gives me something that Stafford don't have to drop back 40, 50 times a game.
Okay, so if you can have a number, what would be a sufficient number for you as far as, you know, getting to that 9-7?
For Reggie Bush, probably about 1,200 yards rushing, 1,300 yards rushing, about 4,500 yards receiving. Megatron, 1,600 yards receiving.
How many touchdowns for Stafford?
Stafford's about 25 touchdowns, and 8 or 9 interceptions will be sufficient enough for me.
Okay, that's all. All right. Whew. All right.
That's about. Wow.
So, Kia, we gonna wait for you to get back from Pittsburgh.
I'm just hoping. You know, when I look at the game and I go back and look at the game, that Ben lost by 3 points and 2 by interceptions that turned for touchdown. And you look at his mistake, because they were weighing the mistake. It's like, We can't go with 50, but it just wasn't that kind of year. He always had a productive year the year after he has not a quite so good year. Because
mm-hmm.
I looked at it like last year, it wasn't productive. Year before, it was a good year. So it's like every other year, it's like he has to find his way back. And this year, he better find his way back. It better be found. Found. September 8th, it better be found. And Tennessee coming to Pittsburgh, so, you know.
I mean, you know, looking at the Steelers schedule, the Steelers could be 4-0 going into your bye week.
That's what I know. We better be 4-0.
The Steelers schedule is kind of, I mean, you know, that depends on the other teams now. You know what I mean? The only loss I really see is the Cincinnati game. And if they don't lose that one, they could be 4-0. They play Tennessee at home. They play the Cincinnati on the road. They play Chicago Bears at home. And then you play at Minnesota.
In London.
And that's that overseas game. Now, that might be a trap game because you got to travel.
Yeah, that's tough for that game.
Hey, Mayor. But
yes,
I always said warn yourself about picking like games like that too early because in a new season, somebody is going to be surprising a whole lot of folks.
I just got to telling you, man, Cincinnati, man.
We are
Cincinnati and we are Kansas City.
Hold on, one second.
That's the bell. We got another caller on the line. My man Cortez, what's going on, Cortez? How are you, my dude? Welcome to the bigger show.
Good problem.
Hey, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
But do you remember that year when St. Louis, the year that St. Louis won it? Everybody, all the teams and all the fans was putting WWW by St. Louis' name. They thought they was an easy pick. And by the time you looked
I don't want to talk about that because that's when St. Louis beat my Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game. I don't want to talk about that because the Burt Emanuel rule, and that's not going to do nothing but make me mad. But, Cortez, welcome to the
What's
bigger
up?
Show, my dude. I know you was down in SEC Media Day last week, my dude. So how did that go? And talk about that article that you dropped in the newspaper.
Well, it was pretty interesting because, you know, Saban got a chance to speak on the Aaron Hernandez thing. And he was pretty much talking about, you know, more of the focus is going to start falling back on coaches. But is it more responsibility versus accountability? Because, you know, media nowadays, they want to blame coaches for all the mess-ups that, you know, coaches do on and off the field. He was just saying, like, you know, you can create structure, put players in the right positions to make great decisions. But at the end of the day, the player needs to hold, you know, accountable. Because Urban, you know, as a player, he took a lot of flack, you know, for how he handled Hernandez in college.
Right, Urban Meyer. Right. But he spoke to that. He was like, well, you know, don't blame me and don't blame, you know, the program or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Well, it got to be a blame somewhere, but I'm just saying, I think it's a betting. They don't do good betting no more.
But I think just thinking of the recruitment of him out of high school, you know, he was a problem kid out of high school.
Exactly.
He was in Connecticut. Let's see, a school in Florida recruiting somebody in Connecticut to play football, that's almost like unheard of, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he had
so the red flags were up then.
Yeah, it was a lot of red flags, but I guess, you know, you couldn't turn away from a, you know, 6'3".
So whose fault is that? Do you blame the people that were supposed to back him and...
I can't blame him at the end of the day
right.
because they're giving this young man a chance to, you know,
right.
better his life, better his family life. So I feel him on a point where it's not, basically, it's not the responsibility of the coaches, it's accountability of the player.
Right.
You know, it got to fall on him at the end of the day because, like I say, they're not kids anymore once they leave the house. They're
right.
grown men.
Definitely.
They said the same thing about Cowboys wide receiver. He got a bad betting report. His report is awful. So growing up in elementary and everything, playing ball, he had the Cowboys still selected him.
Hey man,
well, I mean, you can say that basically about every team. Every team, you know, nobody's an angel. Nobody's perfect. You know what I'm
saying?
Mayor.
Go ahead.
What was the center name that played for Oakland when they went to the Super Bowl and he went to Hawaii and got drunk and
yeah.
Oh, that was That was the Super Bowl where we were supposed to play us.
Tampa Bay. Yeah, the Tampa Bay Super Bowl.
Damn,
his
name was Barrett something.
Barrett, yeah. And he was so drunk he never made it.
Right.
How do you
you got a bunch of people and a bunch of instances where, you know, you do stuff and, you know, things that are not, you know, politically correct or even illegal. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, is it the team's responsibility? Is it the Milwaukee Brewers' responsibility because Ryan Braun was a liar?
But see, I think we've become a society right now to where we want to find somebody else to say, you know what, it's your fault too, and that's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
But also, you know what, making up it's different now because back in the stereo era, it was so many of the heavy hitters and the all-star hitting them home runs that baseball looked a blind eye because what they just left the office fight. And they were trying to put butts in the seats. So with everybody hitting everything out the park, baseball just turned a blind eye because everybody started watching the games again.
They was turning a blind eye. They was calling Jose Canseco crazy because he was telling on everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And again, it was about bringing the popularity back to baseball or whatever. But again, you just can't, you know, say, well, okay, it's this person's fault. Like Marshall Henderson at Mississippi. You know what I mean? You know, he's playing to the crowd and doing this and that and the third. They still let him live. But when they found the weed and stuff in his car the third term, it was a wrap for him. We can't really keep rocking like this.
Ohio State just now. Brody, and look at them right now. What, they've got dismissed? Brody's on suspension.
Right. The running back just let go.
They got four of them. It's four of them at Ohio State. Deserving my opinion.
The kid Herbie Hyde or whatever his name is. He's already suspended. Do you blame Ohio State? Do you blame his parents? Where does the accountability really just stop at? Because everybody wants to shift the blame onto somebody else.
But as a parent, you can only do so much.
Hold on. One second. Go ahead, my dude, Cortez.
The blame lies on the athlete. Because like I said, these are not the 17-year-old kids. They should be grown enough to know that there's repercussions and consequences. And they
were repercussions.
They've had several, you know what I'm saying, people to look at me like, dang, look what happened to him. And they still making these mistakes? That's nobody's fault but theirs. Now, if a coach is not in, you know what I'm saying, putting counseling in or putting some standards and some barriers to try to help them, you know, make better decisions, then it's a combined, you know what I'm saying. I think both to blame. But if the coach is doing everything he can to make sure that kid's supposed to make good decisions and he don't, the coach ain't take no blame for that.
And
right.
Then it's society, too, because a football player could actually miss curfew, sneak out of his room. Somebody walking around, they snap him up because he missed curfew and then put it over the internet. Oh, here we go. He missed curfew yesterday. Last night, and it gets out real fast than it would about 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, they're not even doing, I guess, strict surveillance, checking that, making sure everybody is in before curfew or not even out of curfew. And it's the same instance where you get these football players robbing people, and, you know, I'm like, what are they doing?
And you got somebody walking around with a phone in their pocket or their phone on their hip, and they seeing this, and there you go. And once they press send, somebody's life about to change.
I'm gonna tell you what the difference is today in college football. The difference is it's more pressure ever to win, you know what I'm saying, nowadays than it ever was before. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's more pressure than college football has ever seen. So now you would take a gamble on a four-star athlete who gives you trouble. You know what I'm saying? You would take that gamble. If this will get you that dead at the end of the day, you would take that gamble.
Get you in that BCS title game, baby. Let's rock.
Yeah, Chip Kelly.
That's it.
How do you feel about
Oregon? Yeah, he got all those dudes at Oregon up there illegally, you know what I'm saying, with the recruiting issues and all that. And then he knew the hammer was coming down. What he did, he jumped.
Yeah, he got ghost.
Mm-hmm. He got ghost. And that's another problem. All these coaches jumping ship. All these coaches jumping ship.
His wasn't as bad as Miami. So Miami, I'm still woo.
But no, check this out here. They've been messing with Miami for the past 10 years now. Do what they gonna do to my Hurricanes or leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? And the NCAA, if you want to talk about Miami, let's talk about Ohio State with the tattoos.
He had a
you know what I'm saying?
Going on down there.
Let's talk about Penn State with the shower situation. Don't just talk about like Miami.
I'm not gonna let nobody talk
about my Miami Hurricanes.
Well,
nah.
They've been
Nah, I ain't picked Miami to win the national championship last year.
They wasn't going.
But that's all right though. It's all good. But yeah,
what
I mean,
thing I said about,
what does
the veteran?
But like Cortez was saying, it's all a money grab. So what do? Do you sacrifice that to just, you know, get through that championship now, and then you can bounce, and then later on down the line when they find out that you were doing this, you know, this underhanded stuff, well, you're gone.
I don't think college football can be fixed though. It's so corrupt now.
Where do you think the problem, you know, lies in? Is it in the NCAA itself, or is it in the institutions?
The networks, the Tito's, the sponsors.
Hold on.
The sponsors.
It's got so many people that got their hands out and taking money. You don't know who's out there. I mean, you got people paying somebody. You got people paying assistant coaches at the high school level to influence the decision to go to a university now.
Right.
They won't admit it, but it happened.
It's the sponsors. Did you see Totia's? Well, you didn't see Totia's name in front of something, and they didn't put their name down. They want prime time.
But
they,
you know what, though, Rodney, I would say to that. That's not it, because you know why? These sponsors are climbing all over each other to attach themselves to these bowl games. One year it's the Home Depot Bowl. The next year it's the Gorton's Fisherman Bowl. So everybody's trying to latch on. Okay, they're paying the NCAA so they can sponsor these bowls.
Money.
So, I mean, to put the blame and the emphasis on the sponsors, I don't think it's cool. Because only the thing sponsors are doing is using the NCAA to put their name out there.
My thing is, it's all down to the
Fiesta Bowl. You know what I mean?
The athletic director. They all should be held responsible.
And then it's like, you know, then nobody talks about the lawsuit that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hope the players get some money, because, like I said, they
need
some money.
That's going to be interesting.
Rodney, Kia. Did you see how NCAA cut the cord with EA Sports?
Yeah, they shut down.
That was the first sign right there. They cut the cord. You know how for people who are listening to the show or whatever, not really following the background, you know how EA Sports puts out the video game NCAA 14. They're no longer doing that anymore. And all that has to deal with this lawsuit that players are having against the NCAA in regards to getting paid and getting reimbursed and getting some money.
Mm-hmm.
So the dominoes are starting to fall as far as that regard is concerned, when you see EA Sports no longer having the contract doing NCAA football. They deaded that. So then you notice now, Kia Cortez, if you're still on the line, my dude, you got a couple of players from the University of Florida that play football right now that just jumped on the lawsuit.
But see, what it is that the NCAA cut ties because they don't want to come out of pocket. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They're trying to separate right now because that lawsuit can go into the high millions.
Uh-huh.
If they can really get, you know what I'm saying, some validity going on,
right,
they can go into the high millions because we all know, you know what I'm saying, when we played NCAA basketball when Ed O'Bannon was at UCLA, we knew who 31 was.
That's true. That's true. But again, you know, so that goes back to conversations that we had on the show, man, months prior. Like, you know, these kids go out there and they put their blood, sweat, and tears for their university, regardless if the university gave them a full ride or whatever. But again, the university is selling the T-shirts with their picture on it, their name on it. They don't see none of that loot. So, I mean, you know, and that's all they're asking for. And then Steve Spurrier, hold on one second. Steve Spurrier had an idea, and Cortez, I want to know your opinion about it. he said that a bunch of coaches were in favor of the idea that maybe they should give, like, stipends to the players' parents to allow the players' parents to come see them play. You understand what I'm saying?
But you got to look at it like this. Parents, if they want those parents at their game, they'll find a way, because you got to think each player on every varsity team is allowed so many amount of tickets anyway. So all they got to do is get to the game.
But how do you get your parents to the game if you play for Florida and your parents live in Seattle? You got the tickets to the game, but how do you get them? And you know what I'm saying? That's you know what I mean? I don't understand. You know, how does that work?
I was about to say the tickets are that way, because the same way if I want to go to any one of my college games, I can get the tickets. The same way my parents, my mother is a Gamecock, so we can get tickets to go to the game.
But you just got to get to the game.
How you going
to
get there if you all the way across the country?
There's nothing wrong to get there.
Right. Right. So all you got to do is get to the game. So that's not your problem.
Yes.
But the problem for the college kid that has the scholarship, that has, you know, maybe doesn't have that financial wherewithal
right
to do that.
You just said it right there.
Get to the game.
You just said it right there. People that have the means to get there, you just said it right there. Well, some parents have the means to get there, others don't.
But how do a parent that's staying in the projects, that's staying
exactly
in Seattle,
that's the issue,
get to Miami?
That's the issue.
You want to know how? I'm going to tell you how. This is how they get there. They say, my son is projected to be a second round. Let me take out a loan. That's how they get there. That's why when some of these kids don't make it so, that's why their family be in debt. They taking out loans just to attend games.
Because they already pre getting that money.
Yeah. They already sitting here saying, oh, my son is a starter. He's a starting running back as a sophomore. Okay.
Well, they're going to know they care.
Yeah. By his junior year, he should go pro, and he should at least be a third rounder. That's why they got these fake agents sitting around telling these parents, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and take out that money because your son's going to be at least a fourth round. And when that stuff don't come to fruition, those agents can sit here and sue them because they say, hey, I loaned them this money, and they haven't paid me back yet. That's how they get caught.
So that's why you leave after your sophomore year saying that it's a financial hardship for your family.
Of course. Wait a minute.
It's not that crystal clear, because you have a lot of people that leave early, saying financial hardship situation, that's not broke. Okay, Shabazz Muhammad not broke. His family ain't broke. So my thing is the situation. I'm talking about the situation that
Tim Hardaway Jr. did the same thing.
Those guys are tired of school. They don't want school no more. They ready to get their action now. That's those guys. They don't want school no more.
It's hard to compare like a Shabazz and Hardaway story, because like I say,
or even go back to a Carmelo Anthony. Go back to him.
They reached their ceiling. That's why we had a discussion earlier where they were trying to, you know, talk about Trey Burke should have stayed one more year in school. Why would you stay one more year in school? You won National Player of the Year and you went to the National Championship
and
game.
The thing about that one is, my dude, is that the same cats, I saw that conversation, the same cats that was talking about, Trey Burke is this, they was screaming and hoping that Trey Burke would fall to them. So, and again, like I had mentioned something, I said, well, he's been playing ball almost maybe a year straight. He might be a little tired, you know what I'm saying? Let him, you know, it's summer league or whatever. Let's let him do what he do. Then, you know, let him get some rest in training camp. We'll see what's popping. He's a bust. You can't tell that right now. You don't know if he's a bust.
That's why I don't. You know what? And I noticed something about that. And I noticed we might not always see eye to eye. But I noticed in certain conversations, none of us three will ever touch. We don't even touch. I noticed we don't even go.
It's not worth it to get into those conversations, because it's not going to get anything accomplished.
And looking to crystal balls and all that other stuff.
No.
We don't even get off into
all
that.
My thing was when they headed in the sports group about the Pistons passing over first. The Pistons' whole option was, if Ben is still around, they're going to get him. But they were going with Pope or CJ McCollum. That's who they were going with. They ain't had no idea of picking Burke. They wanted Pope. They wanted Ben, but we knew Ben was going to. If Ben was going to last longer past this, then
but how they end up with how they end up with Peyton Siva?
No, I'm talking. He was the second round. I'm talking about this the first round.
Okay.
First round.
Because
I wanted Burke. I wanted him to pick Burke. Remember, because me and you got into it about that.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't think they should have took him. If they'd have took him, it'd have been a problem.
He wasn't even an issue. It was both on the. CJ or Pope was going to be the option for the Pistons. And
right.
then we were Pope. on, they were going to take CJ. They wasn't going to take Burr.
So,
but what I'm saying was,
hold on,
what
one
I was
second,
trying to explain
second,
was
one second,
they could have picked
one
up Burke.
One second.
They
could have
picked up
Burke
and used him as leverage.
One second.
Let
Cortez, you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I just wanted to get your opinion on the Jadeveon Clowney situation, my dude.
I think Clowney is a beast. Clowney is like second coming of Javon Curse. And
okay,
here.
What do you think? What do you think about? What do you think about them making that hit illegal now, and this, he could get thrown out the game? That hit that he had in the bowl game against Michigan, we knocked the guy's helmet off.
Yeah, but the rule changes. They changing to protect kids, but it's taken away from what football is.
Right.
I think the NFL and college are riding this thin line where they're gonna make football, not football anymore. They're gonna have to change the name because it's not a full contact sport anymore. I understand you're trying to protect kids, but the third,
but mm-hmm.
you can't take
essentials,
aggressive out of football. Once
right.
you do that,
because these lawsuits, they got too many lawsuits coming at them. They got to do something. I don't like it as a fan, but the NFL, when you got somebody that's like a Earl Campbell that's sitting there 10, 15
right.
years down the road,
yeah.
and he can't barely walk, and,
yeah.
and you put a microphone up to his face, and he out of it, you know, all them hits that he was taking, all them hits he was giving out. That's like being in a car crash 40, 50 times a game at 30 miles an hour. So
I think the NFL problem was that they never jumped on the concussion issue early enough. If they would have,
they didn't know about it.
Enough,
nobody knew about it.
Oh no, they knew about it. Trust me, that's why they're getting sued now. They're getting sued because they had this information that they never released to the players. That's why they're getting sued. They can't sue
right.
somebody that's getting hurt in the game because they're willingly playing this game. No one is putting a gun in the head and saying, hey, carry the ball 30 times to get hit. No one's doing that.
And the macho man effect, too. You know, you don't want to come out the game because you got a headache. You know, they didn't play that back in the days.
Right.
They're getting sued because they had doctors that had this data in, like, the mid to early 80s.
Right.
About concussion. And the NFL never jumped on it. That's the problem.
Didn't it the same incident where the Redskins doctor before RG played in the playoffs? The game before when he got injured, he really didn't clear RG, but they wanted him to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always contradicting what the doctor says and what the coaching staff says. So,
well, I think what it was Dr. Andrews, and he served as like a Redskins consultant. So I think his word can't initially jump the medical staff of the Redskins. He just served
right.
as
But you could see, as you know, we were watching the game. You could see that he wasn't supposed to be in that game. You know what I mean?
He got his bell wrong.
But when you're telling your best player, you know what I'm saying? If your best player comes to you as a coach, and he's like, coach, I'm fine. And as a coach, you want to win the game. You be like, all right, go out there and win it for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I didn't blame Shanahan because I'm quite sure RG3 said he's playing.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that couldn't be a loss.
Hey, but let me tell you something, though. RG3 is on a lot of defensive coordinators' radars right now. I mean, as far as
Russell
Wilson. As far as you are doing all that running, he better learn how to go out of bounds.
I'm really waiting for the season. For the last couple of years that a running quarterback would eventually win a Super Bowl with that style, I'm not convinced anymore. I'm not convinced that style.
I still think you need a pocket passer. You necessarily don't have to run. I mean, from a quarterback perspective, you do not have to run. You can still, you can have pocket presence and still be good. Pocket presence, you know when to step up.
The difference in winning the Super Bowl is being, you got to be great at one thing. Either you great on offense or you great on defense. You can't be in between. I don't think that we've had an in-between Super Bowl champion in a while. Somebody has always been great on one side of the ball, and that's been the difference.
That's why I just can't wait to see Seattle play this year. See how well Russell the second year, his sophomore year. Can't wait to see this.
But okay, what about Andrew Luck? Now, what about him? His sophomore season?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about him.
That's the one everybody forgot about.
Yep.
He had the better career. He had the better season, even though he had a better record. I mean, you know, but he had the better record than all of them.
Because he's your prototypical quarterback. He don't mind doing a 3-5-step drop and getting rid of it.
Right.
And it's having his head up down the field looking for a receiver. And because when he played us, he made the one throw he made for that, he made one throw that was inside the 10-yard line that when he stepped up, all he did was just move 2 or 3 steps over to the right. And it was a done deal.
So going back a few Super Bowls, you got last year, you got Joe Flacco. Is he a pocket passer?
He got one of the best arms in the league.
I'm going somewhere with this. So Joe Flacco is a pocket passer?
Yeah.
Okay, what about Eli Manning?
Yes, don't talk about my boy.
Okay, then what about Aaron Rodgers?
He's a pocket passer, but he has
the ability to make plays with his legs.
He has the ability to extend the play.
He's
a pocket passer.
Now what about Drew Brees?
Pocket all day.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben can extend the play. Ben can hold extending the play. We've seen that.
Ben's a pocket passer. He's just a guy who can make plays with plays.
He just got his capability about himself.
And it's hard to bring him down. When you come at him, it's hard to bring him down. If he's struggling, he's going to extend the play. We've seen that where they tried to come after with Sosa to come at the 3rd and 19, and they extend the play against the Jets today to move on to that championship. That's one thing about Ben is capable of doing is extending that play.
I was going somewhere with it, but I just got thrown off. My train of thought just got thrown off.
The reason why my train of thought just got thrown off
because I'm listening to what Key is saying about Ben Roethlisberger, and I was going to go back into like the last few Super Bowl champions to see and make a comparison whether they were pocket passers or scramblers, and we came up with a consensus the last 5 were basically pocket passers. Nobody really can make plays. We talked about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. And the thing about Ben was that he extends plays. So is there a difference between extending the play and making a play? Is there a difference?
There can be to extend. If you extend the play, you look at some of the games that Ben, where you're thinking, you think the defense is going to try to shut us down, they're going to try to shut us down with a running game, and they're going to try to get to Ben. Either Ben going to go to the left, go to the right, going to try to extend. Either he's going to find ground and he burned the Ravens on that play, extend the play, and all Ravens had to do was try to burn the clock out. They couldn't burn the clock out because they would have to keep stopping time. That's what happened. AFC Championship, one AFC Championship, all the way to the Super Bowl.
You necessarily don't have to be the extended play. You don't have to be a running quarterback. You can just have pocket in the
presence. Pocket is not a running quarterback.
Right. The reason why I was saying that is because
you make 3 steps over, either left or right. I just seen Marino do it plenty of times. He didn't have no legs to him. He couldn't run. He only had an arm. He had a cannon on him, and he had a quick release.
My point being was that extending the play, you can extend the play, and then what happens when you throw an interception?
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
You extend the play.
And the reason why I was asking was there a difference? Okay, you extend the play, you duck out the sack, somebody was getting ready to tackle you or whatever, and you get the ball away. Now, the play is made if you make that completion. But what if you extended the play where you could have thrown it away, took the sack, ate it or whatever, and then you throw an interception? Then what?
Okay, go
ahead.
One
interception that was with Flacco, so TJ, he dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm. He dropped the ball right in front of him.
He dropped the ball. Is that Flacco's fault or is that TJ? TJ.
Mm-hmm.
If you get out
somebody from racking your head up, that's about to knock your brains out as a quarterback, and you actually able to make 2 or 3 steps beyond that play, and get out of bounds. That's extending the play because it was not for a loss.
Because you got a positive outcome out of it.
It don't have to necessarily be a touchdown play because you extended it.
Right.
No, that's the same thing
another Tuesday rocked out, man. Usually have our round table, we'll do what we do about this time. Cortez, I'm going to let you set it off, man. Just give us a word of wisdom or something before we get out of here for next week.
Oh, man, word of wisdom.
I'm waiting on football season. I'm tired of all this basketball talk.
Is your name Cortez?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear. I'm watching this whole run, Dolly Peralta, do it. I'm sorry.
I guess what I'm just looking for, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the second half of baseball season goes. My Tigers, hope we can hold on. Hope Biggie can get back triple crown and we can do it.
Yeah, Rodney Z gave us the update earlier when he first came on. It said Miggy is out. He got the hip thing going on.
Yeah, he got a sore hip.
Yeah. So what's your opinion on the Pirates right quick, man?
I think the Pirates scary.
Think the Pirates scary? I had mentioned earlier in the week that the over-under in them was 94. I think they can win 94 games.
Their relievers is what's carrying them.
Willie's out now. He's on the disabled list.
And I think I said under, right?
You said under. Give us a word before we get out of here, yo.
Well, I'm ready for football. I'm ready for college football. Just ready for preseason. I'm ready to get my 4 days up in school's camp and watch my team practice.
That's what it is. T, you on the line with us still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You got a word before we get out of here?
Yeah, go Eagles, that's it.
That's two words, actually, but that's okay. Mike, you in the building? Mike, sleep. We're going to wake him up about 11 o'clock. We'll wake him up. Let everybody know we left already.
I'm here.
Yeah, you
I'm
know
here,
what I'm saying?
I'm
He's still mad at J.R. Smith. Rodney, man, you got a word before we get out of here, man?
Hey, second half baseball season. My boy is out. We win in 4-0. We trying to take over this division. Boo basketball. It is all about football.
That's what it is. Another show, man. We go around, man, make it happen as far as this conversation. I appreciate everybody calling in. My man Cortez taking time out, man, to call and give us a little deal on the SEC Media Day and all that. That's big. My Yankees, man, we're trying to get Alfonso Soriano back, man. We should have never let him go. We should have never let Alfonso Soriano go. And you know who we traded him for, right, Kia?
Yes.
A-Rod. So, I mean, you know, we're trying to get Soriano back, man, and it is what it is. Second half of the baseball season, like the fellas said, man, my Yankees, man, it is what it is. How we end up is how we end up. If we don't end up, making the playoffs, at least we could be a spoiler.
We
should
call A-Rod. We should start calling him Alex now.
I call him C-plus Rod.
Hey, if y'all don't end up making it, y'all can just watch us carry home the trophy.
Oh, please. Hey,
Kia, why do you keep reminding us about last year?
I hope they fall
flat on
that face.
Why do you keep – hey, Cortez, this is your man right here. This is your man reminding us about last year. With the Detroit Tigers, they went to the World Series.
I'm talking about this year.
No, I'm talking about this year. But we went to the same thing last year, my dude. We went to the same song.
I'm saying that y'all not going to make it. That's what I'm saying.
Here's something to chew on. Here's something that you want. MLB has had preliminary discussions of possibly a lifetime ban for A-Rod. Chew on that.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that.
Wow.
I'm not even mad at that. Now the Yankees got to worry about how they go. The Yankees got to get out from underneath that contract.
That contract is sticky.
They got to figure out how they going to get out from underneath that.
Because they didn't do nothing in 09, it's going to come back to fight them now. Because they didn't do nothing in 09, it's going to come back and get them now.
Word is bond. Listen. We're gonna definitely chew on that, man, before we get cut off. Check out the ladies tomorrow night, man. The Divas be definitely rocking. Shout out to the relationship crew. Shout out to Mike. Shout out to the homie Big Rich holding it down. Mr. Lavina on the board. GQ Palace after further review. We're in the building, man. It's the mayor, and I'm out, man. See you next Tuesday. One.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the mayor keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a clip. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. When it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues. The ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.